Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Please be seated. If you have ever found yourself working in a corporate environment, or even worked on a sales team, you are in a state of constantly evaluating. Having had experience working in both environments at separate times in my life, I have had the pleasure, and I use that term loosely, of experiencing such questions as, are we living up to our mission statement? Can we craft an elevator speech for this new product line? Do we need to reimagine our mission statement altogether? Still to this day, these phrases tend to creep into my conversations. And as time goes on, the more cringy I feel about it, slimy even. Especially if it has something to do with the life of the church, or even more close to home, the way that I intend to live my life. Every gospel has Jesus in some way defining himself. What kind of Messiah will I be? He seems to ask and answer. Expectations, you see, were high for a Messiah. Most held on to the idea that a Messiah was going to come with chariots upon chariots, soldiers upon soldiers. The Messiah was to be a conquering force, delivering God's people from the hand of those who oppressed them, a conquering king. In our gospel passage from Luke this morning, Jesus comes to temple like he has done since he was a child. And this time he takes out a scroll from Isaiah and turns to a passage and reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then sits down, as it was custom to do when you were about to teach, and says just 9 words. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Not the most awe-inspiring sermon. I mean, it doesn't have a catchy introduction, no real deep dive into socio-political background of the text, nothing about what do you do next. 9 words. That's it. That's all you get from Jesus. This sermon would not have passed the rigorous muster of a preaching course in any seminary. Not that I've tried. Of all the scripture he could have pulled from, Jesus chose this one passage. Bring good news to the poor. Proclaim release to the captives. Heal and proclaim God's favor. That's me. That's what I've come to do, he tells the crowd. And if we read just a little further down, the gospeler tells us that they were beside themselves, the crowd was beside themselves with astonishment at his gracious words. Not exactly the Messiah they were dreaming of. But apparently there was something to this simple act and moment that moved the crowd. Because you see, hearing freedom and deliverance is music to the oppressed ears. Keep in mind that Israel was being occupied by the Romans at this time. One wrong move and the thin thread by which Israel was hanging on to would snap, leaving them falling into a dark, dangerous abyss. Any sign of hope would have been greeted warmly, even though they would have rather had a warrior king destroying and conquering. That was the expectation for most. Jesus says, "I'm going to do something different. Instead of using tactics of violence and hostility to which the society he was in was accustomed to, I'm going to make the once invisible visible. It's a revelation of sorts, pulling back of a veil, isn't it? What Jesus is saying here is that instead of delivering through weapons and carnage and fear and hostility, we can do something better. We can deliver people through visibility, bringing them out of the darkness into the light, making sure that those who are the most on the outskirts of society's mind will be put front and center, that all are taken care of. And even though I have this aversion to mission statements, I believe we can redeem this temporal term. Jesus gives his mission statement to us in this passage today. It can even turn into a mantra, one could say. The question that Jesus seems to be asking us today is the same question he found himself answering so long ago. How do I intend to live my life? It's a question we all have asked ourselves, I'm sure, at one point. What is my intention? What will my story be? What is that we say to ourselves about our identity and our purpose? Oftentimes, these are the things that we play over and over in our mind. What is my intention in this moment? There was an article on ABC's website from a while back that I stumbled across. And the header was, "Did I love you enough today?" The article is about this mother who talks about her day with her little one, the books that were read, the songs that were sang, the frustrations of not getting the little one down to nap, all the highs and the lows. And the last question she turns over at the end of the day as she looks into her little one's room as they have finally fallen asleep is, "Did I love you enough today?" Her intentionality is to love and to care for her little one. Even more here at home at St. Mark's, Daughters of the King dedicate their life to prayer and to service. It's a beautiful way to live out their intention of serving God. Living a life of intention is no easy task. I don't have to tell you that, I'm sure. When we are baptized and when we reaffirm our baptismal vows throughout the year, acknowledge this intention with the understanding that we won't always get it right. In fact, you'll find the phrase in the baptismal covenant, "Will you strive to?" followed by a bedrock intention rooted in Christ's mission statement. This is how we here in the church choose to publicly name our intention, the way we want to live our life. But because we are human, we have an undercurrent of things that influence us. Questions like, "Will I ever be good enough? I'm always going to fail. Why am I always trying, knowing that I'll end up right back here at the same spot? Maybe I should just take care of myself and my family. Someone else will notice that person." The question that I have for you this morning is a simple one. What is your undercurrent of questions, doubts, fears, the things that you say to yourself? What do they sound like? What was the genesis of those things? Do you still need to hold on to them? Or can you let them go? We are all striving to become more human, to become more fully ourselves in the image of God. And if you're sitting here in this church this morning or watching from home, I'm going to assume that you found something in the life-giving, liberating way of Jesus. He defines this way for us this morning. Bring good news to the poor. Proclaim release to the captives in whatever way that might look like. Give back sight to those who are blind. And remember, blindness means more than just unable to see because of injury, disease, or congenital condition. Being blind can mean lacking perception, awareness, or discernment, especially to those who are cast aside by society. Shout freedom to the oppressed so that they can live a life that flourishes with beautiful humanity. And when you begin to proclaim this good news, that there is a God that loves you just because you are you, that there is forgiveness and peace waiting to be found, you no longer have an elevator speech, mantra, or a mission statement. You have action, bathed in love. Amen.